I'll call the September 22nd meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. First on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, do you have anything to add or change?
No.
Council members have anything?
No.
If not, I'll accept the motion to approve the agenda.
So move you.
And a second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of minutes.
There are none.
There are no minutes. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is none.
Mr. Baker, County Administrator.
Okay, the first item is a proclamation to proclaim Monday, September 28th as Family Day, a day to eat dinner with your children. Whereas the use of illegal and prescription drugs and abuse of alcohol and nicotine constitute the greatest threats to the well-being of America's children. Whereas 14 years of surveys conducted by the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University have consistently found that the more often children and teenagers eat dinner with their families, the less likely they are to smoke, drink, and use illegal drugs. Whereas the frequent family dining is associated with lower rates of teen smoking, drinking, illegal drug use, and prescription drug abuse. Whereas the correlation between frequent family dinners and reduced risk for teen substance abuse is well documented. Whereas parents who are engaged in their children's lives through such activities as frequent family dinners are less likely to have children who abuse substances. And whereas family dinners have long constituted a substantial pillar of family life in America, now therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby proclaims Monday, September 28, 2009 as Family Day, a day to eat dinner with your children, and urges all citizens to recognize and participate in its observance.
We will need a motion and a second.
So move you.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the proclamation. Family Dinner Day, September 28th. Any discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. The next item is a proposal for a comprehensive economic development strategy committee grant recommendation. And the state of Delaware Department of Economic Development has established a committee to accept applications for federal Department of Commerce grants called SEDS grants. And this DETO committee will receive the applications, rank them, and make a recommendation to the federal EDA for grants for specific projects in Delaware. Staff is suggesting three projects for your consideration for a grant application. The goal of the grants are to, one, create new or retain long-term private sector jobs, two, expand and upgrade infrastructure to attract new industry, encourage business expansion, diversify local economies, and generate long-term jobs. The grants are typically 50% of capital costs. They are for governments or nonprofits. They cannot be matched with other federal funds, even federal loan funds. Projects which may not begin immediately can be considered for the grants because there is a review process that, you know, this would take roughly 3 to 6 months, it's estimated, for the grants to be approved. So basically what we're suggesting is that the council consider the applications for these three projects today. A final decision on if the grant is approved, then a final decision by the council to proceed with a project. We would come back, of course, to the council for approval. So this is really just the grant application itself. The three projects that we are suggesting is, first, expansion of the county's industrial park outside of Georgetown at the airport. We would provide infrastructure, including water, sewer, roads, and other needed utilities to expand the industrial park. This would provide a readily available location for new and expanding businesses. We are estimating additional employment with approximately 700 jobs Worked with Ms. Julie Wheatley, who is here today, our Economic Development Director. Possible funding would be the SEDS grant at 50% of $2,750,000 with matching county and or state funding, $2,750,000. This is a very rough estimate of cost, and it could be, we think it could be lower, considerably lower. The second project is proposed as expansion of Delaware Tech's airframe mechanics training program to include training for a power plant degree, which would increase the size. The infrastructure involved would be increasing the size of the Deltec hangar and a paved tie-down area in front of the Deltec hangar in front of the taxiway for Deltec's planes. This, again, would provide local residents the opportunity to learn the skills needed to work on airplane engines, would benefit existing and hopefully attract new aviation-related businesses. And we're estimating roughly possibly 200 jobs over 4 years with 100 graduates and 100 of others attracted to the new aviation-related businesses. Funding is suggested, the SEDS grant at 50%, about $500,000, with matching funds from the state, Deltec, and the county. And then the third project is improvement of the Middleford Road area, the entrance into Seaford. This proposed project would provide sewer and other utilities to Middleford Road east of the town limits or the city limits of Seaford, which would provide sidewalks, would also provide sidewalks and improve landscaping. This is considered the gateway into Seaford, and the project would revitalize this area and help in an area where there have been drastic reductions in job opportunities recently. Additional utilities and improvements would encourage businesses to relocate to the Middleford Road area. We are estimating 100 jobs to be created as a result of this. And again, the source of the funds would be a SEDS grant. Again, these are very rough numbers of $850,000 and then $850,000 to working with the property owners and the county to fund and then bill over time. So these are three projects. Again, this is very, you know, if the council was in agreement, this would be a basically an application for the SEDS grant, and if any of these projects were approved, then we would certainly would be back to the county council for a more definite plan, and you know, before any of these projects actually took off, we'd have to have the county council approval. So. And Ms. Julie Wheatley's here. I'm not sure if she'd like to make any comments or
Any questions.
Answer
Come
any
on
questions.
Up, Julie.
Yeah.
Ms. Wheatley.
That's from Middleford.
Hi, Julie Wheatley, Economic Development Director, I assume. You want to tell us a little bit about the grant, maybe in general?
The last SEDS grants were approved and prioritized in 2006. The funding's just becoming available in 2009. So this is a long range planning process. Along with what Mr. Baker said, they can also, if in 3 years the money becomes available and the council prefers not to move forward, they can also do that. They can just drop it at that point as well.
Yeah. Appreciate you working on this. Does council have any questions?
I don't see any risk of applying for it. You know, so.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Wheatley.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker?
Okay. I do have a motion if the council is willing to consider it. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves a SEDS grant application for three projects. Industrial Park expansion of the Delaware Technical and Community College airframe training program to add power plant, and Middleford Road Gateway project.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the the application for the said grant as read by Mr. Baker. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. The next item is relating to the delinquent tax and utility change policy. And we wanted to bring to your attention, and I think you have information from your packet on this. If you need copies, we have copies available. What we'd like to do is review our collection policy, and with us today we have from Ms. Patty Fawcett from our utility billing office and Amanda Bennett, in director of our treasury division, and of course Susie Webb, our finance director. Just to give you a little background on some of the things that we do to collect delinquent taxes and sewer and water service charges, both divisions send warning letters, they send lien letters, bills, and they place liens on properties. Utility division places liens on properties after 2 years, after an account is delinquent 2 years. The Treasury division places liens on accounts in 2 or 10 year intervals, and we're taking a look at that. They also have phone calls. They make phone calls. They send letters. They work with delinquent property owners to set up payment agreements. There are over 1,100 payment agreements already established with different property owners. They develop an online history for individual accounts to track the status. And also the constable's office works on this we have one employee in the constable's office dedicated for collections. And that employee was transferred to that department from another department due to the downturn in the economy. They also work with letters, calls, and visits by the constables, and they attempt to obtain payment agreements especially. Finally, if all else fails, then we have the munition tax sale process where the constables actually physically go out, check the property, look it over, take some pictures, and then properties are sent to the county attorney to begin the munition sales process. Another item we've done several years ago was to establish a clean hands policy where taxes and sewer and water charges must be paid before we provide a building permit. The second page of this shows some of our proposed policy changes. First, we are suggesting that we send a more threatening, a stronger correspondence directly from the county attorney to the delinquent account. And also another item is to post a list of delinquent accounts on our county website. A third is a possible amnesty period of 30 days where the county would waive its portion of penalties on property tax bills, which amount to between 10% and 15% of the penalties, because most of the penalties are attributable to the school taxes on the bill. And for your information, we currently charge as per state code 1.5% month interest on delinquent accounts on the tax bills. For sewer and water delinquent accounts, the county could waive. We are suggesting half of the penalties, again, if they are paid within 30 days, and we currently charge 1% per month on sewer and water bills. And the fourth item that we are suggesting is that we establish a new collections manager position, which would better coordinate our collection efforts between Treasury, utility billing, constables, as well as the county attorney. We feel that a more coordinated and organized approach would benefit us and provide additional collections, and we believe the additional collections would more than cover the cost of the additional staff person. The cost of the position would be divided between the Treasury Division and the Water and Sewer Districts. And then finally, we have some additional reasons. We think for a collections manager, Sometimes our staff, for instance, right now, the Treasury Division, they are focused, their efforts are all focused on processing payments, of course, with a September 30 deadline. But, you know, when they have extra time, they work on collections. But we feel with a more organized approach, we can, with a collections manager, this would be improve our collections. So with that, I'll turn it over to the council, and maybe Susie or Amanda or Patty or Alan. Alan Holloway is also here from our Constable's Department.
Ms. Webb, why don't you take it?
I just have a couple of comments. I should say I'm a big advocate of hiring a collections manager. Newcastle County has 4. Kent County has 1.5 devoted to collections and coordination and taking care of, making sure that that resource is taken care of. So I support that and I'm working with our staff to get that done.
This is a problem that has been growing over the years. To give a sense of the magnitude, how much money are we talking?
I think the last number we checked, because we were at June, because we didn't want to mix it with the new tax that aren't due yet, was around 800,000 county.
About 900,000 for county taxes, mm-hmm. and plus the school taxes.
Which is how much would the school tax be?
Probably around 7 or 8 million, maybe.
Uh-huh.
The schools are about 5.9.
5.9, 6 million.
Were as of June 30.
How about the sewer part of it?
Sewer, 1.4 million.
That's all our money.
That's all county, mm-hmm. yes.
Well, it certainly makes sense to have a coordinating person. I'm sure that position is going to more than pay for itself if they can have even a fraction of success. Does council have any questions?
I do about the real estate tax, the property tax. What portion of these amounts is for people who live in the properties, and what portion is like speculation and investors? Have you?
Roughly a third is for second homeowners. Is
second
that what
homeowners?
You're? But I couldn't comment on how much speculation or anything.
Property.
But I'm not sure. We didn't break down the delinquent accounts by
okay.
that.
So you're
but
not
typically
looking.
What we bill, roughly a third, is for second homes or out of state, out of county. Bills are sent to out of county addresses.
I'm just wondering how many are Sussex County residents, and it's their primary home, or what portion?
Probably haven't been.
Two-thirds, then.
We'll have to check on that if you like. So we're saying roughly two-thirds of the tax bills are sent to county mm-hmm. addresses within the county. Is Bonnie Smith here? Do you know off the top of your head on that? Or?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I can do that, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Might be an appropriate time. I know when the new council first came in, they started asking about this, and I believe it was Ms. Patty Fawcett in the utility building that took some time to start working on that with some success, but it soon became obvious that it was a position that needed to be filled with a full-time person that could dedicate themselves to it. So I congratulate the finance department and everyone for putting this proposal together. Is there any other comments from council? We are in a position to approve this policy change today if you so desire.
Mr. President, if I may make a comment, I think it's extremely important because of the fiduciary relationship you have with the school districts that you're collecting money for them as well, that we take all efforts possible in order to collect those.
Very good point. All right. We have a proposed policy modification in front of us. Is either council person prepared to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second to approve the policy change with respect to collections, also establishing a new collections manager position. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. The next item is a suggestion regarding county council meeting and public hearing times. Since April 7, 2009, the county council has held its regularly scheduled meetings on Tuesdays beginning at 3 o'clock with public hearings beginning at 6 o'clock when we have public hearings. A suggestion has been made to change our meeting schedule. We currently have public hearings scheduled and advertised, of course, today and next Tuesday, the 29th, October 13th, October 27th, and November 10th. Those public hearings are scheduled at 6 p.m. on those dates, and they're already advertised. Prior to April 7, 2009, the county council met on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock in the morning. When they had zoning hearings, the council heard the hearings at 1:30, except during the second Tuesday of the month where the council began their meetings at 6:30. And then prior to a few years ago, council meetings were all began at 10 a.m. with public hearings at 1:30.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes, sir. I asked this to be on the agenda. Thank you for that, Mr. Baker. I am of the opinion that the council has better attendance, had better attendance at daytime meetings than we do in the evening. But my bigger concern, I got lots of emails from people about serving the public and making sure the public has access, and I agree with that 100%. And the issue I have is that I think that planning and zoning meets at 6 p.m. on their hearings, and we meet at 6 p.m. There's a section of the public out there, at least in my part of the county, that works evenings. And if you have an evening job, you have no access to public hearings. There are people, elderly people, who might want to come that have expressed concerns, and maybe because they don't get to drive at nighttime because of their vision, they don't do that. I think it's better serving the public, all of the public, because P&Z meets in the evenings. If we have hours in the afternoon, then both sections of the public have to show up and participate. That's what it's all about. So my recommendation would be that we go back to 10 a.m. council meetings and public hearings at 1:30. So both parts of the community, even though those working in the evenings might not be in the majority, they still, I think, deserve the same amount of courtesy that everyone else does.
Okay. Any other council members have comment?
Well, the emails came, a lot of them came from my constituents, and but not all of them. And every single one that I saw wants us to keep with the schedule we have now, having our business meetings begin at 3 and the hearings begin at 6. That was overwhelming. The response was overwhelming. And, you know, even retired people who responded and said, well, we would have a choice of whether to come or not, but people who have to work for a living would not. And I don't know that any other county in the state meets, that their council meets. I don't know if they meet in the afternoons or not. I don't think so. But I really strongly would like to see it remain as is.
I think that's a very good point, and I will go back to what I said. I think everybody should have the opportunity. And if you have a nighttime job where you have to work, and lots of people do that, at this point in time, they have no access to our public hearings.
I'll just chime in. I was an advocate of changing them early on, and we've experienced it. And I'm looking out at the audience right now, and I'm trying to figure out how much of the general public is here. And I look at it looks like it's we filled the house tonight or this afternoon with county employees. I know Mr. Kramer, and there's a couple over here, but there's maybe what 4 or 5 people here that are not part of the county right now. So, I mean, the attendance hasn't, I've not seen any great increase. I haven't seen any decrease. I haven't seen much of a change. I do know this, that I have had people tell me they don't like the retirees and stuff. And when it does get dark in Sussex County, and there's many a night when I ride home from here, it is pretty desolate out there. There's not many cars on the road. And, you know, both night meetings, it's a good point that, you know, we did balance it with in the past. And I don't have any heartburn on going back to the old way. but I didn't really see any increase in participation. The only time we saw an increase, and I think we saw it whenever there was something very controversial, example will be the Lingo project. We'll get a lot of people to that, but your average typical public hearing attracts the applicant and maybe just a few handful of people, and it hasn't really, I don't think, interfered with that process too much. So I think we have the ability that if we see a big one coming down the road, Dave, we could always schedule, and I think in the past we have scheduled. I know at Americana Bayside we actually moved locations, and so we can get a sense of things to come as they come down the road. So I could go, I mean, I don't have any problem with it changing back. It's I don't know if we want to do it until maybe like the first of the year or something like that. I don't think, David, you rattled off when it could possibly be done, but I think that we would probably go to the end of the year and start a year fresh or something like that. If we do it, make a change, it should be. And the other thing is, I didn't like what we had in the past where we had three-day meetings and then one-night meeting. It didn't make any sense.
Very confusing.
That was good. Yeah, we either do, and I'm an advocate of this too, whatever we do it all the same. We don't change. And that one-night meeting didn't have any advantage, I didn't think, except that I showed up a couple times at 10 o'clock and the meeting was at 6.
Yep. Well, it helped confuse the public.
Maybe I have been here too long.
I'd like to make a motion.
Mr. Wilson, do you have any comment?
Other than that the public has a chance to hear both hearings. They can come in the morning and hear it, those that suits them in the morning. Those that don't like it, come planning and zoning, come at nighttime. It's just that simple. I think that we're being more fair to the public by having two different times, so I'm definitely in favor of change.
Okay.
Are we saying planning and zoning meetings are the same as county council meetings, and then you either go to one or the other? You mustn't come to both? I don't understand.
No one said that. What I said was it gives the public access to either one or the other. Work in the evenings, we both meet in the evenings, you can't get here.
Something's going to be a hardship on somebody all the time.
We're trying to bring business here, and we're trying to help the folks that have jobs and create workforce housing and bring more people here who work, and most people work during the day. So I think to change this now would be the opposite of the way we're going. So,
okay.
You can tell your opinion.
I believe we have a motion by Mr. Vincent.
I'd like to make a motion that we change our meeting times till 10 a.m. with public hearings at 1:30 in the afternoon starting the 1st of January, 2010.
Well, wait a minute. When is the last public notice that's been sent out on these meetings?
November 10th.
In November.
November 10th.
Why don't we start?
Why don't we start a new year here, buddy?
Okay. Sorry to me.
Is that a second, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to change the meeting times for our business meeting to 10 a.m. every Tuesday, and when public hearings are scheduled, they will begin at 1:30 p.m. Is there any further discussion?
One thing that's going to be in our favor, Vance, is that in council, our employees are going to be able to, if they've got problems, they can come in here without working overtime or whatever, and they can relate to us and tell us what's going on more, so I think we have better communication.
Well, Sam, one little bit of follow up. We have had in the past where I've requested a certain technical individual to be at a public hearing for clarification of the county's point of view. And at night, it is difficult to make sure that person's there. Where now, if we did get bogged down with an issue, we can actually have David, issue some instructions and see if they could come down and clarify something as opposed to having to defer, ask for additional information and stuff like that. So that has been helpful in the past that we don't have the ability to do that now. So, there have been times here when we would need, the only guy we have usually is Mr. Lank or one of his, or Mr. Abbott. But there are times when we have like some engineering questions or something from the plus, and then we can call one of our engineers down and get a clarification on it, where we can't do that at night because they're not here. And we don't. And a lot of times it's during the applicant's presentation that something will come up.
That's right.
That will, raise some interest. And any one of the councilmen can say, well, let's get that clarified, and we'll try to get somebody down here, and then Dave or somebody will scurry to get that individual that will add that. And we've done that in the past, right, Lawrence, a number of times. So we don't have the ability to do that at night. So that's a little helpful. I mean, it adds to what Sam, I think, alluded to when the employees. And we do have a lot of employees here today.
Okay, we'll call the question. Ms. Deaver.
No, I don't vote for this. And we're saying because a lot of people didn't show up in numbers that we're going to change this now so that the working people can't come to county council meetings. That's unheard of. And a lot of the people that wrote and responded to this question really feel that the council is trying to hide from them. And I think that's outrageous. And no, I'd vote absolutely against this. This is against the working people of this county.
Ms. Deaver votes no. Mr. Vincent?
Well, I'm going to vote yes for the working people of the county, because I still am concerned about people in my district who work evenings. Apparently nobody in Lewis works at nights. I don't know how they do live over there, but whatever. But people in Seaford and Laurel work in the evening sometimes and have evening jobs. So I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Well, I represent that western side too, Melford and Bridgeville and Greenwood, parts of Georgetown and towards Millsboro. I find that there's people be just as glad to come daytime as nighttime. And let's write a question. To say that we're against the public coming, that would be a ridiculous statement to make to start with. But anyway, I'm going to vote yes.
Mr. Cole?
I've had complaints both ways. I've heard what Jones heard, and I've now watched what's been going on for a year or so. So I, like I said, I could go either way. I'll probably vote to go back to the 10 o'clock, I think, just because of the ability to get the staff in here on on issues that sometimes when I get a question, and when I was in a minority and I'm all by myself, Jim, sometimes took a staff person to come down to help me. I'm just saying, sometimes when I'm sitting here on my, when I was on my own against the other four at that end, not this same four, but another four, Oliver Hill, Ralph Benson, you know those guys. Anyway, it was nice to be able to call somebody in here and be able to clarify something as opposed to, voting on something and not having the proper information. So
all government, no people.
Well, I'll go back to the 10 o'clock and try that. And a year from now, I'll be willing to revisit it again.
You sure will.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
I'm like
Cole.
That whack-a-mole on the boardwalk. Keeps popping up.
I've said all along that I personally prefer the day meetings. It's very convenient for me. But as a public servant, I felt that the evening meetings served the public better. I was curious about how many people worked at night. I contacted the Department of Labor, and the best statistics that they could give me indicated that 85% of the people worked during the daytime, which left only 15% at night. I also felt that candidates possibly would be lessened. The potential candidate pool for county government would be lessened by having the meetings in the daytime with so many of those folks working as well. And that was another reason that I wanted those meetings at night as a public servant. And there is no other local government that I can recognize in the state that has meetings in the daytime. Even the school boards, of course, meet at nighttime. So I have always been an advocate of night meetings. And today I will vote no against the resolution. But the motion does carry 3-2. And at the beginning of the year, we'll go back to the 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. meeting times. Motion carries.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
This is not on something else. Before we begin scheduling next year's hearings, I wonder if we could put on the agenda to talk about maybe scheduling planning and zoning hearings and then county council meeting 60 days later, so we could have planning and zoning's vote before we hear an application.
We will consider that for a future agenda.
Put that on the agenda in the future.
We'll consider it. Mr. Baker, Board of Adjustments appointment. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the next item is we have an opening on the Board of Adjustment, and this, we have one individual whose term expired in June, and this person is from Mr. Wilson's district on the Board of Adjustment.
Mr. Wilson, are you prepared to
Mr. Brent Workman
nominate or renominate Brent Workman? Mr. Wilson has nominated Mr. Brent Workman. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to actually reappoint Mr. Brent Workman to the Board of Adjustments. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Administrator's report.
Nobody asked me a question, told me anything, you get enough.
Kevin, if you'd kept up, this man had been on there for the last 10 years, so you should have known who he was.
You should have mentioned it to me.
Mr. Baker, please.
The first item is Delaware State Police report, and we have a copy of the July report from the police for Sussex County. They handled 4,661 complaints, including 251 felony criminal arrests, as well as 831 misdemeanor criminal arrests. Delaware Solid Waste report, 23,715 pounds of recycled material was received at the West Complex Recycling Center during August. And then finally, Stephanie Callaway Memorial Award for Excellence. On Wednesday, September 16th, EMS Director Mr. Glenn Lucky was honored by the Delaware State Ambulance Association as the first recipient of the Stephanie Callaway Memorial Award for Excellence in Paramedicine. The award was established this year to recognize individuals who have rendered outstanding and dedicated service to their community, county, state, and the first responder community. Director Lucky was recognized for his experience, maturity, and steady leadership that enabled Sussex County EMS to become one of the premier EMS organizations in the country and the world. They cited his role as co-chair of the Delaware Emergency Medical Services Oversight Council and leadership in several national projects aimed at improving ambulance safety. He was also recognized for his 50 years of service as a paramedic, firefighter, fire chief, educator, and EMS administrator. The award was presented by Mr. Charles Evans, president of the Delaware State Ambulance Association, and Stephanie Callaway's husband, Steve. Thank you.
I've got a question, Mr. President.
Yes, Ms. Steve.
I keep getting these Delaware State Police reports, and I was just wondering how many troopers actually are in Sussex County. Do we know?
There are 40 that the county pays roughly half of the cost for as part of our grant to the state, and I'll request again the exact number. I think it's 140 or 50.
We have about 150
total
allocation to this county. Mm-hmm.
About 100 are allocated through state funding, right, and then an additional 40 with a 50-50 partnership with the county.
So okay. that contribution does, in essence, it does really mean that we have a certain amount of troopers in this county. I mean, that really, it's not theoretical.
Those are additional over and above what the state would
have
hired.
In addition.
Yes.
But they really are in the county. I mean, it's not just theoretical contribution.
Right. If there's a problem in Kent County or Newcastle mm-hmm. County, they may be asked to help with a problem mm-hmm. that occurs there,
but
and vice versa.
Here.
Some from Newcastle and Kent are drawn to Sussex, especially during the summertime.
Okay.
Where if there's a
But our contribution does bring them physically to the county.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And also, Dave, aren't some of the vehicles we've helped fund, they're a different, slightly different color? They used to be.
Initially they were, but...
Oh, they aren't anymore?
No, we drive.
God, I like that. I used to be able to point one out. When I get pulled over, I'd always check the color of the car.
Anything else from Mr. Baker?
Thank you.
Well, to Mr. Deaver's question about how many police there is, that doesn't count the town police, right, Guy?
No, of course
Baker?
Not.
That's just state police.
That is just state police.
So yes. We're probably talking about at least another 150 to 200 people.
Right, definitely.
All right.
So we're pretty well protected. We've got, 350 officers or more.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Ms. Webb.
Today I have an ordinance for possible introduction. It's to authorize the issuance of $7,500,000 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County for the construction and equipping of improvements to and expansion of the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility. The purpose of this bond is to finance a portion of the cost of the SCRUF South Coastal expansion. The expansion took the plant from 6 MGDs to 9 MGDs. The bonds are backed by the county's full faith and credit, and it is expected that the debt service will be paid from revenues of the South Coastal users. The terms of the bond is to not to exceed 40 years. It's expected that the bonds will be sold to the United States Department of Agricultural Rural Development. This bond issue is in within the legal debt limit of the county. This is the last piece of financing needed for this project. The funding for this project was a mix of bonds and expansion fees. The expansion project total cost was approximately $22 million. It was the big scruff plant expansion.
Now, is that related to new service in that area?
Well, we had a lot of new districts feeding into scruff, so we needed to increase the gallons per day, and that's what that accomplished, plus replace equipment. I think the plant was built in the 70s and upgrade in the 80s, and so as districts came on, need to expand and carry it forward too, you know, not just to meet the needs of today, but to provide for sewer in the future. I just need an introduction.
I'll introduce it.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent.
Thank you. My next item is good news. On September 9th of this year, for the seventh year in a row, Sussex County has earned the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting for its comprehensive annual financial report, what we call the CAFR, for fiscal year 2008. And this award is among the highest forms of recognition for governmental accounting and financial reporting. You must realize we do not have to do this report. We could have a regular audit. We don't have to go above and beyond and provide all the statistical information and the history and the written management discussion and analysis. So with the help of the staff, and some of them are here to be recognized today because they do an outstanding job.
Who are those that should be recognized?
And I'd like you to stand because to show that they really work hard. Ms. Kathy Roth, our budget director, she completes the actual report and does a lot of work with the coordination with the auditor and does most of the statistical section. You can see it's a team effort. Gina Jennings, the director of accounting, coordinates the whole audit. It happens in her department. She works with the auditors. Her staff and her office is interrupted for about at least 2 months of six auditors that inundate her. And she makes sure our general ledger and our books are right and ready for the auditors on a timely basis, because this report is time sensitive. You just can't leave it open-ended. We have to have it in by the end of December. Jeff James, Department of Engineering Accountant, does all the scruff, all the engineering accounting, all the debt, all the reimbursement requests. You know how much money that we get from outside agencies that help us provide funding for the sewer districts. Keith Moore does, and under assistant director with Gina, does many, many technical journal entries, properties, and accruals, all our pension work. There are very technical accounting entries. And Louise Thompson, one of the newest persons in our accounting department, does a wonderful job, technical entries, the debt, which is very complicated, and many accrual work. And there's many other departments that work to achieve this, too. The auditors are in utility billing. They're in treasury, they're up in engineering, they're down in deeds. So I'd like to thank all those other offices, too, that work so well with the auditors. And because of these individuals, it makes my job easier. It truly does, and our county run much more efficiently. And I'd just like to thank them.
And that's what it's all about, just so we make sure.
It is.
That's right.
To us.
Well, it also,
that's where we work every day.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, this kind of recognition is very reassuring to a person in my position, knowing that we did so well. And congratulations to all of you.
Very,
very proud of you.
I'm very
like
proud
to now,
of you, too.
Now go back to work.
Done.
Thank you very much, Ms. Webb.
Take all the work caught up.
I'd like to call out Ms. Gina Jennings now, please.
Especially you, Jeff. Get going now.
Breaks over.
Yeah, breaks over.
Good afternoon, Ms. Jennings.
Good afternoon.